Welcome to CougarCast with Keith Schertz and Tosh McIntosh. CougarCast, covering BYU football and basketball. Email the show, cougarcast@gmail.com, and follow on Twitter at CougarCast.
Greetings, my name is Keith Schertz, and I am not with the 2002 Daily Herald Utah County Name of the Year, Tosh McIntosh, but I am with the multiple winner of the University of Iowa Medical School Educator of the Year, Dr. Stephen Schertz, my father. Dad, thanks for filling in for Tosh.
Oh, I'm happy to be here. In fact, I'm honored that you'd ask me.
What a moment. Dad, you don't get to go to a lot of the home games, but you are going to go see them play Portland State. It's been a while. When was the last game that you got to go to at Lavelle Edwards Stadium?
I'm sorry to say, I went to see BYU play Utah State University, and I saw, I think it was in the third quarter, when Taysom got tackled and he limped off. And that was the end of that year for him. And we also got whooped.
Yep.
They had to throw in the
Christian Stewart,
and as good as he tried to do, he got a lot better in subsequent games.
He did, yeah. So, and that was a sad game. Daryl Gerritsen, the Utah State, he was the backup starting that year, came in. I think he had one of the greatest games in terms of quarterback rating in Lavelle Edwards Stadium history. So, Daryl Gerritsen took it to the Cougars.
I remember that. He was throwing the ball everywhere, and he was throwing it well.
He even ran one in. So, anyway, yeah, we lost to the Aggies at home. It's like the first time that's happened since, like, the early 70s, I think. So, yeah, I'm glad you were there for that.
Oh, yeah, I was real pleased.
So there's another opportunity for a historic meltdown against Portland State, and if it happens, I think everybody should blame you.
Yeah, okay.
Are you ready to take that?
I can take the blame, but I'm not very worried that I'm going to have to.
Okay, all right. Well, Washington State Cougar fans 2 years ago weren't worried about that, but they've lost coaches and a lot of the key players that took down Washington State. Mike Leach's teams, anyway, always start out really slow. So the question is, and actually, we'll get into Tosh here in just a second and explain some stuff with Tosh, but I actually want to get straight into it. The question is, will BYU start slowly this year? They've had a penchant in the last decade under Bronco. They went 1-2 to start the year. Last year, I believe we started 1-3. And part of that is because independence means that you're going to play some really great teams early in the year. At least that's what it's meant for us thus far. Do you think the Cougars can get off to a little bit of a quicker start this year than they have in years past? Or are we looking at a similar kind of slow start?
So you're asking me through the first four games?
Well, I'm asking you, I mean, yes, Portland State, we expect them to do good. Do you think that'll help them maybe get more momentum so it doesn't take a couple games or four games to finally find their feet?
I think, I'm a perpetual optimist, particularly when it comes to football. I think we're going to be 2-2 or maybe 3-1.
Wow. How am I your son? Because I get always labeled as the pessimist between Tosh and myself, and I am compared to that. But anyway, good. The optimist. I got another optimist with me. That's good. I need that. The positive mental attitude flowing. Let's talk about Tosh just really fast. So everybody should wish Tosh well. Tweet at him. He'd appreciate that. At Lehigh Roller, L-E-H-I-G-H, Roller, for Tosh. Wish him well and everything. He was out on a hunting trip with his father. He was out on the bow hunt. It was his second time going out. They got nixed the first time, but it was good scouting, and they went out again and were excited about it. And then they had some ATVs, and they were riding them around one night. And and while they were riding them around, Tosh got into a pretty bad accident on his ATV. And he's okay. I think he got knocked out. He suffered a concussion, and his face got scraped up pretty good. And but everything that we understand about Tosh is that he's doing really well. His recovery's coming along, and he's going to have some pretty cool scars, I guess. And so that's what we know about him. So we wish him well. He's going to be out of podcasting business for a couple weeks here. while he recovers and gets a little bit better. And so we're going to let him heal up a little bit before he's back at it. But we wish Tosh well. So with that, we'll move on. But tweet at him and let him know that you guys are sending the positive thoughts and the well wishes to him. That would be cool. Dad, I wanted to ask you, in the Portland State game, it's your first game back in Lavelle Edwards Stadium in a while. What's your favorite thing about going to a game at Lavelle Edwards Stadium?
Oh, I love the crowd. And, of course, the game is always way fun, of course. But I like the folks that are all around you. And though I probably shouldn't be judgmental, there's a lot of interesting people to watch. And it's just fun to feel the excitement of the fans, I think, in the stadium. That's my favorite thing.
Do you think that BYU fans like booing the referee more than cheering for the team?
Do I think they do that? No. I think that they cheer for the team.
We like to boo the ref.
No, I've heard that before. And I would be saying a lie if I told you that I didn't more than once yell at the ref. However, I think that there's more good spirit than bad spirit
there. All right. So what would be a successful afternoon game at Lavelle Edwards Stadium? Usually we play at night. Tanner Mangum under center. Lots and lots of new faces at all the other skill positions. We're not totally sure what we're going to get out of Squally Canada other than something that's serviceable. What are your expectations for the offense, and what are things for you that you need to see to feel good about the 2017 season?
So on a jesting basis, I hope I get out of the stadium at the 1 o'clock start without a sunburn.
Okay.
All
good.
Right.
Yes.
Now, switching back to football.
There's creams that can help with that.
Well, you'll have to teach me about that.
I thought you might have taught some people about that. Anyway.
Okay. Well, now, backing up here just a bit, football-wise, on a very narrow viewpoint, we need to leave with a win. So, you know, even if you won by 1 point, that's... That would be key, but that isn't what's going to happen.
Right.
I think that we're going to win by 30 points or more.
Oh.
And so I think that would be a very satisfactory outcome. Curiously, if we're up by 30 points in the fourth quarter, I hope our backup quarterbacks get a chance to play a little, and I'd like to see him play. That would be fun. This would assume, of course, that Tanner's had a good day already.
Yeah. And I think I'm with you. Is there a point spread total? Is it worth looking at a point spread total and getting worried about it? So let's say they only get by Portland State and it's 24-14. They win by 10. Is that a worrying outcome for you?
It's not, but I didn't bet in Las Vegas. So
no,
I'm
okay.
Sure, the odds are better.
But I'm saying as you forward prognosticate for the season.
No, I don't think it means too much with first game. I do believe that they're going to win by a wide margin, and I wouldn't be disappointed if they didn't, because I think it's a learning curve. And I think that teams have a tendency to get better. How many people have you heard say that the biggest progress occurs between game one and two?
Well, Lavelle Edwards, I think, is the one who founded that statement. So.
No, okay, well, a win would be satisfactory. A comfortable win would even be more satisfactory. I think it's going to be a blowout. And what I'm hoping is that that's a sign of improvement in the team for next week's game.
All right. So I think that all of that is fine. I think the thing that I'm really curious to see is I've made the argument before. I don't care who the wide receivers are. I think Matt Bushman is going to do fantastic. I think Moroni Lalu-Putu-Tau is going to do good at tight end. But I don't really care who's catching the football. I think Tanner Mangum's good enough to make anybody seem like they're good and reasonable out there. So I'm just betting on him being that good. So for me, don't let Tanner get hurt. Jeez, that would be the worst thing in the world. And then the other one is I'm really looking to see if we can find a running back that can distinguish themselves and show that maybe they're the guy that we can hand it off to 15 times a game and throw it to another 5 times a game and allow them to kind of, you know, beat up the other team by pounding the ball.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
In this whole preseason fall camp. Mm-hmm. Have you heard anybody talk about the backfield catching passes on a regular basis?
No.
So are they? Did they just don't do that anymore?
No, they do. I'm sure that they've thrown passes to the running backs. I just haven't heard about it as being a feature thing like it was with Curtis Brown and Harvey Unga.
Okay.
And Manase Tonga and the whole Tongan triangle.
So that would be a curious thing to me, is we talk about somebody being able to run the ball well. I want to know who can catch the ball well out of the backfield.
Yeah, one of the things we never saw from Ty Detmer's offense last year is we didn't really see screens anywhere. And I love a good screen. I think they're great. It's a great play. And in the right spot, it's awesome. And I just don't remember us running a screen at all last year. Now, part of that was Jamal was fantastic, but he's not very good at catching the football out of the backfield. And on the outside, they just didn't really have those plays in place to put them in, and we didn't really run them. And so for whatever reason, it just wasn't in the playbook. I'm curious to see if Ty Detmer will add that to the arsenal this year or not. All right. Let's talk a little bit about Francis Bernard. Francis Bernard is out for the season. He is on a red shirt right now. The rumor is maybe he's going to transfer, but that has come out because of his brother. His brother's upset that he's had to red shirt this year. I don't know all the details, whether it's honor code, academic, whatever the case is. Francis Bernard is still enrolled at BYU. He is out for the season, though, however, and will not be part of that great linebacking core. We were so excited about Bernard and Pau and also Fred Warner. but now it's no Francis Bernard. So, you know, without him in there, obviously it's always next man up. I really trust Elisa Tuiaki's defense. I just thought that they threw in a lot of guys last year and they forced a lot of turnovers. They were a big play defense. They didn't get that many sacks. But man, they forced a ton of turnovers and changed games by making big plays in that way. They were not a bend but don't break defense. They were a big play defense that changed things. And so to me, that was the biggest change from Bronco to Kalane, is the approach of the defense wasn't just to kind of shield them so that they kick a field goal instead of score a touchdown. It was, we're going to take the ball from you no matter what. So obviously, losing Francis Bernard hurts a little bit on that. At the same time, I feel a little bit better because they took Francis Bernard from being a running back. He was the team's leading running back and made him one of the better linebackers on the team last year. They're going to find somebody else to do that. And right now, it looks like they're going to put Matt Hadley. They moved him from safety, and he'll be playing linebacker. But what do you think of this trend, though? It just seems every year we always have a star player who redshirts a year. So it's Francis Bernard this year. Last year, it was Sione Takitaki, who's back this year. Before, it was Jamal Williams. Is this just a new trend? This didn't really happen as a result of taking care of personal matters. A redshirt just used to mean that we were redshirting them. But what do you think about using a redshirt as a way to maybe cover up whatever personal issues are going on with people?
Well, I don't know exactly what to say about that. It's the redshirt principle. To help people who may have an honor code issue, I don't have any objections to it. The alternative in times past has been to suspend them from the team, period.
Yeah.
And my hunch is that Francis Bernard will hang around and that we will see him playing next year. I might comment, if I may, that the Cougars have always had a way of finding guys to fill in holes like this. And if you didn't know that Francis Bernard was not there, you might be absolutely thrilled with what you get.
Right.
And that's one of the things that I'm looking forward to seeing in the ball game tomorrow against Portland State. I'm interested in knowing just how well.
And then that's what I kind of felt like. I mentioned the running backs. I feel like something like that might arise. You really like KJ Hall.
Yeah, I like him. Yeah. Just because last year, it seemed to me
when
like
he got his chances, he really
when he got
like,
his chances, he looked like he was a steamroller,
and he wanted it.
Yeah. And he wanted it, right?
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, this happened. Like we had, I think it was JJ DeLuigi, and then finally we played Michael Elisa, and he was a freshman, and boy, he was really, really good. And so yeah, I guess that's what you hope for in the Francis Bernard scenario is that you get those things to work out. All right. And do you think though that the Cougars, you know, in year two, they've had more time to kind of work with these guys in this new 4-3 scheme. It's the second year with the new scheme on defensively. Pressure though on the quarterback was lacking last year. Do you think we're going to generate more pressure this year, or do you think that'll continue? I think it'll continue to be a little bit of a problem unless somebody surprises us.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to it.
Talky maybe might be a solution there.
Yeah, I think that you're going to see an improved defensive line play. And I'm confident that they will do their job. What you're forgetting is, as well, we didn't put the heat on the quarterback as well as we wanted. But on the other hand, we led the country in interceptions and takeovers pretty close to it. And so we compensated in another way.
Well, that's interesting. You know, one of the things, everyone's talked about the absence of Taysom, and everyone's talked about the absence of Jamal and recovering from that. People aren't as worried about the Taysom thing because we all feel good about Tanner. I think there's reason to be worried about Jamal. The guy that we haven't talked about is who I would put maybe on my two deep all time for BYU safeties. Kai Nakua was an outstanding safety for BYU. He was outstanding. We got to replace him.
And he might make it with the Cleveland Browns,
yes,
right?
Yes, he might, yeah.
So I don't know. You're right again. That's another question mark. They're talking about how the depth is good and the personnel is good.
Yeah, they like Zane Anderson, yeah.
On the other hand, we'll see. I remember a few years ago that there was wide talk when Bronco was here that it was the finest defensive backfield that they'd had at BYU in years. And I thought they played very average.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Well, but we like the corners.
Yeah, we do.
I mean, we love Troy Warner's outstanding. We like Diane Guanwaloku. I still haven't got that one down yet. Diane Lake, Diane, it was such an aggressive player. He kicked out a senior who was a 3-year starter before the year was over because he played so well.
Yeah. No, I think we're going to have a very representative and good cornerback and safety group.
Yeah.
But again, there's a question.
All right.
We'll see.
So, and then to round that out, obviously, is Anderson. It looks like Zane Anderson is going to come in where Matt Hadley was. We're going to let Matt Hadley eat food, get big. That's what Kalani keeps talking about, that we'll let him enjoy college life. He's had to diet so hard in order to stay small enough to play safety. Well, now he can just go ahead and eat. That's how they've decided to handle that. So that's interesting. Dad, I'm about to talk about your favorite thing to talk about. I mean, every time that we talk, kicking.
Yeah, you know, you shouldn't have opened the door. But is it not true that the majority of NCAA teams are led year in and year out by scoring by their kicker?
Yeah, sure.
So why is it our kicker the number one importance in every year in who we offer scholarships to? I think it's a fair question to ask.
Well, I think you want to have a good kicker. And it is, you know, Rhett Allman was brought in to be a punter, and he did okay last year. Jake Oldroyd was a walk-on. Where's the stud kicker that's coming through that
day? Yeah, well, you know, I hear rumors that there's guys out on their mission that are great kickers that are coming. But it's just an interesting question that I have. You never hear about how they're recruiting the world's finest kicker.
Right.
You always hear that they're trying to find the world's finest lineman or the world's finest quarterback.
Well, I'd rather have a great quarterback than a great kicker. But I do think you're right. Having a really good kicking helps. You know, Blaine Fowler during the spring game said that from 40 yards in, Rhett Allman is automatic. Do you feel like he's automatic? If he steps out on the field for a 37-yarder, you just feel like that's flying through the pipes?
I will take the word of that fine commentator. I would say no. I want him to prove it. I want him to prove it every single kick.
Yeah, he was pretty good, though, last year.
He was. Yeah. I'll give him credit. I mean, Yeah, he's wonderful.
Yeah, he did pretty good. He game-winning field goals and all that.
Yeah, he also, of course, it was blocked, wasn't it, at Boise State?
Yeah.
But it was a long-distance kick, and he had to kick it sort of flat.
Yeah.
We got blocked. What if we would have had the world's finest college
kicker? There you go. I mean, things might have changed. But that was – I've already talked about that game last week, but that was as the funkiest game of the year last year was the one at Boise State. Weird. The weirdest stuff in the world happens when we go play up in Boise. Well, I don't understand what that place is and why. Because I can think of three or four games up there now where I thought to myself, geez, we didn't lose. Like, we, you know, they didn't beat us. We gave that to them. Last year was certainly the case. I think.
Well, we. How about? Wasn't it the Utes where there was five turnovers?
Oh, sure. Well, then that was also Boise. They did that against Boise, too. But, okay. Yeah, we forced five turnovers against Utah.
All right. Well, anyway.
Okay. But, so, those are a few of the things. But I'm worried about kickoff. Rhett Almond is pretty accurate, but he's not very good when it comes to kickoff. And they used to bring in Andrew Mickelson came in and did some of the kickoff. But we need to watch some of that because the worst penalty in the world, the most annoying penalty in the world, is when they kick it out of bounds.
So let's go back in history, and you help me, please, for just a second. There was a guy that was a defensive lineman. I mean, we're talking 20 years ago. Yeah. I think his last name was Hunter.
Yeah, Shane Hunter.
Yeah. Anyway, they used to bring him in when we needed to have the long kick.
Yeah, well, he was a punter.
I don't think so.
Hunter the punter.
Anyway,
yeah.
All right.
Shane Hunter.
I keep thinking that there's a guy on the defensive line that can probably kick at 60 yards.
Yeah.
I don't know if there is or isn't.
Mo Longhi. Maybe we can use Mo Longhi in that way. Yeah. Well, special teams, they did announce, and I do like the specter of this, that on field goal block, first of all, I think Corbin Kafusi, we blocked three or four last year, and it wouldn't even be Corbin Kafusi who blocked it, but we'd all just assume it was Corbin Kafusi because he's so big out there. But that's going to help maybe turn a game or two. And then the other one is, but that's where they're going to use Big Mo, Mo Longhi.
Yeah, and he's become a folk hero already, and I'm kind of looking forward to seeing him also.
Yeah, well, we need to try to get it so that you stand near him at the game. Maybe we can. You've got to see that. I was at the Orem Owls game. Mo Longhi was there, Dad, and he took up three rows. I mean, he was huge.
What a guy.
Yeah, he's quite something. So that's how they're using Mo Longhi. I do think we're going to block a couple, you know, extra points and field goals because of a 6'10 guy. And I do think, you know, Big Mo will be used that way. What is your dream? So at SBNation.com, they give out an award at the end of the year called the Peisman. Okay. And it's given to a defensive or offensive lineman who make an athletic play. And so this could be, you know, scooping up a fumble and running it in for a score. It is my hope that Mo Longhi can win the Peisman 4 years in a row.
That'd be great.
And make an athletic score. But it has to be for the best play by an offensive or defensive lineman scoring a touchdown. I really hope that against Utah, first time we're at third and one on the goal line, we put in Big Mo and say, run it in, buddy. Let's see what happens.
Okay. That would be fun.
Wouldn't that be fun?
We'll try it. Yeah.
I mean, even if we're going to lose, at least we can. If we're going to lose to Utah, at least we can set up a campaign to win the Peisman Trophy for Big Mo.
Okay. What's the play called where the quarterback receives a snap, but the center keeps it?
The center sneak.
Have
you ever seen a center sneak in a game?
No, but it's time. This is this year when we're down on the 1 yard line. I'd like our center to have a chance. He's been such
Tajon. Yeah,
he's been so good. I'd like him to have that chance.
All right. So you're going to be at the stadium. You're going to eat a cougar tail.
Oh, you have to, don't you?
Yeah, you got to. And we're going to be over there in the West Stands. When you watch games over in the West Stands, that's a different experience than watching it amongst the students or in the north and south end zone. They're a lot more positive in the north and south end zone. Those West Stands, they can get a little bit nasty over there. I'm looking forward to hearing some people get angry.
Well, in all the years, I've never sat in the West Stands, so this will be a learning experience.
Oh, it'll be good. You'll get to be with the gray hairs over there. And that's not you yet.
I'm working on it.
When are you going to go gray? It's crazy. All right, so... Let's just do a couple predictions for you. So at the end of the first quarter, how many points will BYU have put up on the board?
14.
Just 14. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good. And how many turnovers do you think BYU will force?
Three.
Oh, that's a good afternoon. I think that we're going to have a turnover. I actually think Tanner's going to throw a pick, and I think it'll be early in the game. And I just think that there'll be some mistake that's going to show up.
I think one of our running backs will fumble.
Yeah. That's one thing that you'll miss about Jamal. I mean, Jamal only had one fumble lost in all of his 4 years playing at BYU. One fumble loss. That's
very impressive, isn't it? Yeah.
That's an insane number. Okay. So if not only was he the all-time leading rusher in the history of the school, but the guy just simply didn't lose the football. He did it one time his whole career. So replacing him will be big. Is there somebody in your heart that you feel will take over and be the big star as we walk out of the stadium? Everybody will be buzzing about this person.
Offensively or defensively?
Either, anyway.
I think people are going to say, man, Bushman can catch the ball.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's Matt Bushman's day.
And he motors once he's got it.
Yeah.
Defensively, I don't know for sure.
Freddie. I think Fred Warner has been the best defensive player on BYU for the last couple of years, maybe.
How about the fellow that set out last year and is coming back?
Taki Taki.
Yeah. I think Taki Taki.
All right, good. So we'll all be excited about the return of Sione Taki Taki. And then do you think that by having this first week, first of all, there may be, because this is just how it works, there may be a few guys that we're expecting to see play who don't play, you know, maybe Butch Pau or I don't know anything, like, you know, that a player that we think like Squally or somebody that we think is going to play that but does not play. That to me is one of the big benefits of having this first week be against Portland State, not LSU, because maybe the suspension will have been served after that one game. But the bigger question is do you think that this gives the fact that we've got one game to put under our belt against Portland State, do you think that helps us take on a top 10 team like LSU the next week?
Yes. And it's what we talked about early on. I think there's great improvement between game one and game two. I think we're going to iron out a lot of little glitches and problems that we may have during a first game. Yeah. And I think it will help us when we get to LSU.
All right. Good. And have you been having bad dreams about playing Darius Geis yet? You should have. The LSU running back.
No, I'm glad you explained that. I think he is probably as good as they say, but we shall see.
Okay. All right. Well, so that should be a lot of fun. Last thing that I wanted to do on the show with you, Dad, and thank you for filling in with Tosh and giving me someone to talk to. I actually want to talk about your life as a BYU fan. And so if I just say this off the top of your head, what's your favorite Lavelle Edwards Stadium memory? When you were in the building, what was your most exciting one?
The very end of the game against Miami when the crowd stormed the field.
Yeah.
And it was exciting.
Okay. Yeah, the Miami game was outstanding. It was actually, Mom, you know, she doesn't really, I was young for that. And so I didn't get to go to that game. But Mom was watching it on TV. And I got to stay up late and watch it with Mom on TV. I remember watching it with her as it finished. And she wondered if you were running out on the field. Did you go out on the field?
I did not.
What a practical man you are.
I am indeed. Other than the time that I knocked down a whole bunch of people catching the souvenir football thrown by Cosby.
This is a great story. Just we'll say it quickly. That we used to sit when we, growing up in Utah, we lived in West Jordan, Utah. And when we were there, you would get season tickets. We'd sit in the south end zone.
North end zone.
North end zone, excuse me, yeah. And portal, I think like H is what I want to say. But anyway, we were going up through it and, you know, 20 rows up, something like this. And as we... it was halftime. We started heading down the stairs, maybe, you know, to get some treats and some goodies. And there was a lot of people on the stairs, and the cheerleaders were throwing footballs, those little mini plastic footballs. And Dad, it was maybe the highest jump I've ever seen you take.
Well, at least 6-8 inches yeah. off the top.
You had a vertical, though, your best vertical. You grabbed the ball. But you had to kind of one-handed Devin Blackman style. You brought it in behind you. You brought it in, but you didn't have the footing there. You had to lean back too far. And the next thing you knew,
it was like dominoes.
Dad's rolling down the hill, and I mean, he's taking out several people on the way down. So
it was pretty exciting. It certainly has been a family treasure.
Do you have a favorite player, like a couple guys that when you close your last week, we talked about kind of the guy that the scariest opponent that BYU has played that you've got to witness us play. Is there somebody that pops in your head right away where you go, man?
Marshall Faulk.
Yeah, he was horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he was great, right?
He was
so
fabulous.
Great, but
you'd watch him run from one end of the stadium to the other against the Cougars.
Yeah, he was awesome. I remember seeing Marshall Faulk as well. How about BYU players, guys that you remember and that you loved?
Well, Kyle Van Noy was always fun. Jason Buck was also always fun. And then, of course, quarterbacks. How could you not talk about quarterbacks? And I put Detmer as being very, very, very exciting.
All right. Last one, and this is the last thing. I'll finish with this. Tanner Mangum as a sophomore, joined Max Hall as the only sophomores to have started and won a bowl game for BYU. So there's only been two sophomores that are doing it. It's Max Hall and Tanner. So outside of them, there's been 12 starting quarterbacks. So we're going to play a little trivia. So the folks at home, hopefully you can have some fun with this. 12 starting quarterbacks that won a bowl game at BYU. 12 of them. And I've already given you two. Max Hall, who did it twice, and Tanner Mangum are two of the 12. Can you name the other 10? I will give you three strikes before you're out.
Ty Detmer. Wrong.
We're wrong already. So Ty Detmer never won a bowl game as the starting quarterback. True enough, though, we did win the 1988 Freedom Bowl in which he played, but Sean Covey was the starting quarterback in that game.
Okay.
That was a freshman year. But interesting, Detmer is a sophomore, junior, and senior. They never won a bowl game.
So you told me Max Hall again. John Beck.
John Beck won the 2006 Las Vegas Bowl.
Okay. Of course, McMahon.
Jim McMahon. He did it two times. 81 Holiday Bowl and the 80 Miracle Holiday Bowl.
Steve Young,
yes. 83 Holiday Bowl.
How about...
He wanted me to give him a hint.
No. I'm blanking on a name, which is beginning to show how old I'm getting. He is now, or he was the offensive coordinator last year at Alabama.
Uh huh.
What's his name? Oh,
he coached at USC.
Yes.
He also coached at Washington.
I know, but that's the name that's slipping me. But he won the Cotton Bowl.
He did, 1997 Cotton Bowl.
Go ahead and give it to me, because elsewise...
What's your first name?
Oh, Sarkisian.
Yeah, Steve Sarkisian. That is not your first name. Your first name is Steve. But yes, okay, you got there.
So thank you for that help. How many down are we now?
We have named 1, 2, 3, 4.
How about Mark Wilson?
No, he came before Jim McMahon, right? And Jim McMahon won the very first bowl game. If you remember, they were 12-0. You probably watched this game. They played in the Holiday Bowl. I think it was the 79 Holiday Bowl. They were undefeated. They played Indiana, Lee Corso's Indiana. And they lost by 1 point because they missed the kick at the buzzer. Doinked it off the post. Do you remember that game?
I do kind of remember
that
game, yes.
So, 1 point game that kept them from an undefeated season.
Bosco.
Robbie Bosco, 1984 Holiday Bowl. Good.
Okay.
And I gave you, I gave you Sean Covey, 88.
How about Gary Scheide?
No, that's before Jim McMahon.
Oh, so is there a, has to be after Jim McMahon?
Yeah, well, Jim McMahon won the first bowl game.
Okay. Well, but that's three strikes.
It is three strikes. We'll give you a fourth.
I was kind of hoping I was off the hook here.
Okay. Well, we can be done.
No, let me see.
Think recent.
I know. Riley Nelson.
Riley Nelson, yes. The 2011 Armed Forces Bowl against Tulsa. Magic from Riley Nelson.
Okay. I don't know. I give up at this point.
All right. So here's who you missed. I'll give you the bowl game. 2010 New Mexico Bowl.
We won that. But I don't remember who the quarterback was. I'm sorry.
They defeated, I can't remember, but...
UTEP.
Yeah. It was Jake Heaps.
Oh, okay.
Jake Heaps, and he was really good in that game. Let's see. Oh, man, you're down to the two toughest ones. 1994 Copper Bowl.
Got no clue.
John Walsh.
Oh, that makes some sense.
John Walsh. And the last one, and this would be the hardest name to come up with, I think, 2012 Poinsettia Bowl.
Well, you should. It's only
5 years ago. Right.
I don't know.
St. George's Own.
Oh, the same guy we talked about that replaced... did he come out and replace...
Riley?
Riley?
Yes.
Oh, I can't think of the guy's name, but we said it in this broadcast already.
I don't... James Lark.
Yeah. We didn't say him. We said somebody else.
Yeah.
Okay, James Lark.
There you go.
James Lark was the guy that said... he didn't receive very good coaching as a quarterback.
That's right.
At BYU.
He didn't feel he got much help from quarterback coaches. So,
And then it proved that he was a pretty good player when he needed to be.
He did pretty good, didn't he? Yeah, I think he had 5 or 6 touchdown passes against New Mexico State in that frustrating 2012 year. So, where we had an unbelievable defense and a very bad offense, except for Cody Hoffman.
Uh-huh.
So. All right, well, that is it. Final score predictions, Dad. I want you to throw me a score. We always do this. BYU, Portland State, what do you have?
56-7.
Wow. Just a thrashing. 56-7. I don't think we're going to be scoring that much. I would love it if we did. I think that they're going to be keeping the playbook close to the chest.
Ty Detmer said not.
Yeah, well.
He said he would do what he needed to do out of the playbook to win.
Okay. Well, so I think that they're gonna run once they get a lead. I think they're gonna beyond that they need to figure out if they've got a running game and who's gonna maybe step up there. And so there's things to prove there. I think they'll run a lot. I think you're gonna see something more like 38-10.
Okay. And it would be satisfactory for us to win it by that much.
Yeah, especially if they're kind of running the clock and they're kind of... I do think it'll be besides all that, I do think actually it'll be a relatively short afternoon at the stadium.
How many passing yards is BYU going to have tomorrow?
Yeah, I think that they're going to have like 270.
350.
Okay. Sounds good. You love Tanner Mangum. I love Tanner Mangum too. You might like him more than I do. You love Tanner Mangum.
Yeah, he's great, and I don't know that I love him more than you do. I do know that I like him a lot. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Everybody, if you have enjoyed this show, please let us know. Again, give your well wishes to Tosh at Lehigh Roller on Twitter. Dad, do you have a Twitter?
No.
Okay, good.
What's a Twitter?
Yeah, no, that's all right. You'd be wreaking more havoc on there than the president if you were out there.
Yeah. Maybe that's why I don't have Twitter. Sorry.
Yeah, you'd be starting more international incidents. So that's it for this week's show. So if you've enjoyed it, let us know. And thank you. We had an email come in, and it was very helpful and very sweet. So thank you for that. I need to reply to that, by the way. CougarCast@gmail.com. So thank you for that. And if you have any questions or comments about the show or things that we need to do to make it better, let us know. So CougarCast@gmail.com. And if you've enjoyed the show, give us a review on iTunes. Helps people find the show. Thank you, and go Cougars. Last thought to you, Dad.
Go Cougars is right.
Thank you for listening to CougarCast. If you enjoyed this show, take the time out to give us a rating on iTunes. Also, look for us on VanquishTheFoe.com. If that isn't enough, you can follow us on Twitter @CougarCast. Enjoy the games, and go Cougars!